The Sci-Fodder Film Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Sci-Fodder Film Podcast. I am Andy Walker and I have with me, as always, my son Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm marginally better than I have been, slightly worse than I was before. I wasn't as bad as I am. That's about as good as it gets so far. There you go. Well, now, this week, as we had a hell of a lot of horror last week, I thought this week we'd go purely sci-fi. And these three films are definitely purely sci-fi.
I would like to say, before we start, and for people that watch this, obviously, we know that we put the videos up in one full long one, and then we broke it down into sections. I appreciate and I love the fact that there are people who have taken the time out to
absolutely
watch full-on video to sit there and, like, I know people that have got to the point where it's broken up and have gone, oh, we'll listen to it another day. But seeing the fact there are people that have listened to the full-length one and sat and watched it, I appreciate it so
much. We really appreciate anyone watching any of our podcasts, but that one was a real marathon, and it was.
I didn't realize until it went up actually how long the video was.
Yeah, I mean, it was long enough for us to do it, but it was and then adding in the video bit in the middle was kind of
exactly longer. Do all that and to sort of go through everything that we normally do. I appreciate the fact that people have taken the time out to sit and watch what.
I will also
4 hours
say,
long, I think it is.
Yeah, I will also say I tried very hard to put links up to all of the films that I could find that were on YouTube to the films and trailers and things like that were on YouTube. Unfortunately, none of the way we do it, Anchor, Spotify, and YouTube, none of them give you enough space to be able to put up all of that amount of films.
Yeah.
So I kind of didn't have the chance to put up the links to all of the films, I'm afraid. I'm really sorry about that. But I did manage to put links up to all of the people that were selling things there. And I did put link up for the Bromford Film Festival, Horror Film Festival, and for Riller Thriller for the guys in Wales. So there you go. So this week we're doing two short films and a full-length feature film. And we are starting off with a short film called Trojan. This is made by Opex Films, directed and written by Leo Harper Gow. And the cast, Daniel Godfrey, William Arthur, James Bennett, and Nina Deshinga. This is it's an interesting film, I thought.
Yes.
Very good idea about, the basic idea is about sort of virtual reality.
The whole if you die in real life, do you stay in virtual reality?
The
more trapped in virtual reality, I think, is with us in this. So.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a very interesting idea, that idea of going into virtual reality. You know, as you say, if you die, do you stay there or what happens? I thought the acting was pretty good. I'm not sure why they played Only You by the Platters in the middle of it, because it didn't seem to fit with what was going on at all.
Yeah, I did wonder as well. I agree with you, the acting. I don't know if it's just me, but the... I don't know if it's again because I'm getting older, because of the fact I've got to the point where it just it, annoys me now. I get the fact that there wasn't an excessive amount of swearing in it, but some of the words that were used are a bit extreme for a lot of audiences.
Yeah, maybe.
I think if they done like not, I'm not saying I looked at it more of sort of the whole judgmental side. So I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like certain words that were used.
Yeah,
So
well,
it's just,
yeah.
and I get the fact that obviously a lot of people use them out in the street and sort of stuff like that. I get that, but it's just, I don't know. It seemed like it was a bit of an
Yeah.
extreme use of what language to use.
I know, yeah, I mean, it didn't necessarily have to be there for the film, but yeah, it kind of, yeah, I kind of.
Overall, it doesn't take away from the film.
No.
I looked at it as the fact that I know there's certain people that use that listen to their words and then twitch off.
But it, I
So
mean,
it's you're losing.
yeah.
There is a chance of losing certain people in an audience with that. It's still a really good film.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's interesting for me because I thought for a while when he went goes into this place and starts being interviewed by the guy who's running the program, I thought it was going to turn into a comedy because the
Yeah,
way he was doing the interviewing was kind of like, oh, is this going to be a comedy? Is he going to start cracking jokes? Because he was edging towards it, but then he didn't, which is kind of weird. The
I've
thing
got.
that I couldn't understand, right? He's upset because his sister has disappeared. He gets asked to go to this place where he knows she has a connection to, right? And he isn't asking about his sister when he gets there. He doesn't come in and say, "Well, where's my sister? What's going on? What's happening?"
No, yeah, there is that. That would be the first thing that comes out of my sort of the idea about is sort of like, so what do you know? Why are you involved in? But I get the fact, obviously, unless it's meant to look as that's done off screen or whatever. But yeah,
Yeah.
it's one of the things that I would be doing is the whole what do you know?
Yeah.
But I will say, it's I think this film, as much as we're saying this is pure sci-fi, which it is, I think with the shock that happens
Yeah.
with what happens to the main or the brother is very gory.
Oh yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, it's quite a
It's
kind
sort
of.
of a shock factor in it, and it was an
Yeah.
amazing, it was amazingly done.
Oh yeah. No, the effects were really good. I mean, I liked all the stuff inside the program when he was inside the program. The cinematography there, the coloring, all that was really well done. And as you say, that shock factor, that when he's attacked, that kind of really was, yeah, it was really good
Yeah,
effects.
it was that shit, the shock factor. But even that, it was done. Like I've seen a few films where that's been done, and they've over dramatized it, they've
Yeah.
overshown it, and now I think that was done enough as that shock factor for you to sit there and go, "Oh my God!" And then go to the next bit, and I think that was
Yeah.
very well done and very well.
I liked the film. For some reason, I don't quite know why, I wasn't completely sure about the ending. The ending kind of
No.
left it feeling a bit, huh? You
Yeah,
know what I mean?
it seemed. I don't know if it's just me. Maybe I read too much. It was a very creepy ending.
Yeah.
Like I'm not putting too much. Oh, sorry, putting context that isn't there. But for me, it was just weird that their brother and sister and they do all that. But it's just the whole. I want to spend the rest of my life with that. It's a bit weird that the.
Yeah, but it just all felt a bit kind of not
Yeah,
quite.
it didn't seem to, it's sort of faded out.
Yeah. But
I don't know.
it was okay. I think it was a really good film and really well made. I just there were a couple of elements to it that kind of just weren't quite
Yeah,
there
no,
for me.
I agree with you. It's cinematography for the effects, but I think it's just, it almost, yeah, it just seemed for me, it just fizzled out at the end.
Yeah. Okay, now on to our second short film, which is called Alientologists. This is on Dust, so I don't know when it was put under Dust or something, but the writer and director is Tyler Rabinowitz. The cast is Danny Gardner, Kurt Kozlak, Macy Sullivan, and Trevor Brooks. Now, this is a film about aliens collecting debris and human artifacts from an exploded Earth.
Yes. Well,
And
that's the main, that's the first half of the film,
well,
anyway.
that's what the film is about. Then what happens is they have a bit of an argument and everything between themselves, and they lose all of the stuff that they've collected. And then one of them collects a jukebox.
CD jukebox.
A jukebox, and he starts presses buttons on it, and he starts listening to some jazz. And he also happens to collect a huge collection of tap shoes, which they then take on wearing and dancing to the jazz. Now, I'm just going to say what I've written down here, right?
Okay.
What I've written is, I love this film. Absolutely love this film. This is one of my favorite short films of all time. It has excellent effects, good makeup, great acting. It's funny, it's interesting, and it has tap dancing aliens. What more could you want?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched this earlier, and as I do with most of the time when I do this in general, when I watch these, is I watch them normally sort of in the background for like Amy is watching, and all I sort of heard from over my shoulder is, "What on earth are you watching?" I didn't explain to her the film. Normally I do. I go, "I'm going to watch these films, and this is what they're about," just in
Right.
case she looks over my shoulder. And I didn't read the synopsis out of there. And she just looked over my shoulder and thought, "What on earth are you watching?" And part of me wanted to go, it's sort of that almost that guilty pleasure film of going, nothing. But it's just, I sat there afterwards, like, I can't put into words without sounding a little bit crazy, and I've just watched a film about tap dancing aliens.
It is fantastic. I have watched this film now. I mean, seriously, 2 days ago was the first time I watched it. I have watched this film now six times because I just enjoy watching it that much.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with you. It's the makeup to it is amazing. Cinematography is amazing. Set design looks great. The balance to it, the light and all that, it's it was the whole thing. But it was the whole factor of like, okay, they're going through, yeah, going through the thing, and I was like, it stopped on Sinatra. I'm
Yeah.
like, okay. And it started dancing, started music, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it's just gonna be they're gonna discover music. And then he sat down, and then the box came up. I'm like, what on earth is in the box?
Yeah.
And then he dropped some, and I was like, oh, for God's sake. But I didn't even have to see the shoes, and I see him, and I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. And then putting one and started dancing, and I was like, this is just, I agree with you. It's one of them films that you didn't know you needed, but after you've watched it, you know you're glad that it was there.
Absolutely. I just love watching it. It makes me feel happy watching it.
It's defenses as well as the fact that it starts off with one of them,
Yeah.
and then like, it's sort of that infectious dancing is it sort of happens, and the female one comes in and starts it, and it's just.
Even outside of all that, what I love is things like they don't even try to give you a translation of the alien language because you can pick up from what they're saying. What they're saying, even though you don't know what the words are.
It's certain words, like obviously the certain word bit they did for junk was quite obvious, but yeah,
Yeah.
it was certain bits. It was that whole, it's like when you see someone speaking another language, you know, and hearing them argue, you're like, you know what they're saying.
Yeah.
You don't need to, but it was great, and I loved it.
I absolutely love this film. I think it's fantastic. I want to find out more about these people that made it because, right?
Sorry.
Want to find out more about the people who made this because it is just fantastic in every way.
It's one of them films I'm saying I can't say enough. It's one of the films that I didn't know I needed to watch. I didn't know I needed it in my life, but I'm so
Yeah,
glad it's there. I'm
absolutely.
so glad that we've got a link to it, and I'm so glad that we can just go back and watch it.
I hope never to stop watching this film. To
Yeah,
be watch this film on and off for the rest of my life. It'd be...
it's hilarious, and I just it's a perfect film.
It
It's
is.
got almost it. It's got so many that you
Everything.
probably wouldn't even know you needed from a film.
It's got everything in the right amount as well. The comedy doesn't overpower it, the
No.
sci-fi of it, and even the music and the dancing don't overpower the sci-fi of it, because you cannot get away from the fact that these three people are aliens.
Yeah. Aliens that know perfect tap and can
Ah,
appreciate
absolutely.
Frank Sinatra.
It's good jazz music and tap dancing. What more could you want?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, that was I'm so glad we watched it.
Yeah.
Okay, on to our feature film. Now, our feature film this week is going back to 1957. This is the second of the British Quatermass films, Quatermass
Yeah.
2, directed by Val Guest. Written, the screenplay was written by Val Guest and Nigel Neill, who is, and it's a Hammer film, and so Nigel Neill wrote loads of screenplays and things for sci-fi and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Knew you were going to come to me first. This is the problem is that it's a typical 50s film. It's the whole nothing happens until probably the last 20, 30 minutes, and it's a lot of a long explanations to what is going on. But it's a again though, it's a typical old classic British sci-fi film. It's
Absolutely.
got the exaggeration of stuff, everything that was in it. It's got the right amount of explanation, but not actually tell you what's going on. And I've got to admit, again though, it's the acting, obviously for the time, was probably really good. It's a bit, I thought was a bit dated, but it's still got good acting. The cinematography, I still think, is really good. The set designs were quite good.
Yeah, well, I mean, to
It
be
was a
honest,
bit bizarre, but
well, the thing about it is, it's interesting because 1950, I think it was 55, somewhere around there. I could be wrong, it might have been a bit earlier, but somewhere around the mid 50s, they opened up a new oil refinery in Essex. And you will find that 90% of the science fiction films made in England after that date used that as a set. The ones that were on TV and on film used that as a set because of the fact that it looks so odd compared to everything around it. The only things that they did kind of add in were the domes and that, because they weren't there. But I mean, I don't know. As you say, it's a fairly standard British sci-fi film of the 50s. Some slightly dodgy acting, but mostly pretty good. It's got some decent effects. The aliens themselves are a bit odd. But I like the idea because it's not often you get an alien invasion idea that is a kind of stealth alien invasion where they kind of do it gradually, and then they kind of use they take over people to make it so that they can then come, and they come in bits and kind of like form themselves together. It was such an interesting
I
idea.
was trying to think. I don't think I can actually think of any apart from this one. I don't think there's any that spring to mind. But yeah, no, I agree with you. The idea behind it is very, very done, very well done. I love the fact that it was told the dark side of the earth. It sort of almost made me feel like, hang on, surely that would move a moat, but so just say Earth's atmosphere. But yeah, no,
But
so it's the
it would
whole.
mean that if it was the dark side of the earth, then they would have to keep moving in rotation. They would have to keep still in rotation. In what's it to the rotation of the earth? But it would mean that at certain times we would be on the dark side of the earth, and therefore we would be able to see it.
Yeah, exactly. I did think as well, though, when they said Dark Turn of the Earth, I went, Pink Floyd missed the opportunity there. No, so it's, as I said, the acting, some of the acting was amazing too. Sid James, don't know, he's something else.
He's
And
great.
he's the great actor, but I love the fact he wasn't in it for that long.
No, but
And
he
it's
was
just
great in it. He did.
the exaggeration of him overacting of him dying as well was amazing.
Yeah, no. It was standard dramatic sort of license for the 1950s, late 1950s. But no, I mean, this is a classic film, and it's kind of the big thing for me throughout all of the Quatermass films, though. Well, all of the ones that had but I can't remember his name now. Thanks for bringing me in. I can't remember his name.
Oh, what?
The actor.
What, both play Quatermass?
Yeah.
Brian, is it Brian? Yeah, Brian Donnelly? Donnelly?
Brian Don Levy.
Don Levy, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of the Quatermass films that have got Brian Don Levy in. My big thing with it is why nobody punched him in the face, because he is such an annoying, arrogant twat in all of them.
He's, I've got to admit though, he's one of the times though you sit there and watch, like even this one, it's the second one to it, and it's sort of he's got them connected to it. No one still believes him.
No.
He comes to these people and they've gone, this is going on, and they've gone, no. You would have thought after the first, like the second time, even the third time, they would have gone, maybe we should pay a bit of attention.
Yeah. I mean, the thing as well that I liked with this is it's got a whole slew of English character actors and people who would go on to become famous, apart from Sid James, who you said about. I mean, you Brian Forbes, who went on to be a huge film director, was in it. William Franklin, Michael Ripper, also the guy who plays Trigger in Only Fools and Horses, his dad was in this film. So, I mean, there were quite a few people in this you would recognize from lots of other things.
Yeah, I was saying there's a lot of them that were in it, and there was a is the thing is as well that the actors that were in it were obviously big names for that time as well, or they were recognizable faces and names for that time. But like you said, there's a lot of them that went on to do things, and obviously like Sid James's back catalogue sort of everyone sort of knows a lot of them. But I'm saying a lot of people, like we said, were made their career sort of. Kick-started their careers for it, or they went on to do other things, or they went on to make better films.
Well,
So,
this is, I mean, this is what Hammer were really good at. They employed lots of really good British character actors who then were in loads of their films and went on to be in lots and lots of other films. And some of them went on to do bigger and better things. Some of them just
also,
carried on doing the same sort of thing they've been doing all their life, you know.
what's the thing is, you think this guy, I'm not taking a lot away from the time, but a lot of stuff in, especially England at the time, the sort of late 50s, early 60s, there wasn't a lot for, especially for certain places that people came from, a lot for people to do. They were either like they stuck in the dead end places. So people like Vera Day, who's in it, she the fact that she was from Forest Gate, which at the time, there wasn't a lot in that area, so you got stuck in the same place as then to actually give her a chance and say, look, here you go, there's a role. It might not be a big role, but there's a role, and to help her push it through that way. And the same with the same like all the other people who are in it, and it gave them connections to push on further. And it's just, yeah, okay, it's a typical film that probably doesn't stand well with the test of time nowadays, but
Well, I don't know. I
it's
mean,
a still a cult film.
it is, and as I say, I think it's got a really great idea behind the story, which is really, it gives it a lot more kudos, if you like. It kind of makes it a better film because of the fact that it has got that good story. If it had a naff story, you'd look at it and go, "Oh, it's all right."
Oh, it's the thing is as well. So I've been sitting there like a lot, even all of the Quatermass films, you think about it, they've all got sort of. And they've all got obviously certain bits in them that link them up together, but they're all unique ideas. And for the
Well, it's
time, for that sort of time, for people to go, look, this is an idea that we've got, this is how we do it, and then write it. Like I said, the whole idea that they've done it to the whole stealth invasion that is done this way, and they're done through to then build up a way of making it so it was safe for them to come down. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that is like it, and it's one of them films that I think a lot of the films that Hammer especially put out were all certain ones were ahead of their time with it.
I think, I mean, a lot of it comes down to the writing. Nigel Neill wrote some amazing stories. There's still one of my favourite ghost stories ever he wrote, which is called The Stone Tapes. It's just fantastic. His imagination was incredible. And the stories he came up with were great. And, you know, I mean, for the time this was made, it was kind of, you're looking at, you know, British film industry it's at that time. Didn't have the, even then didn't have the sort of money that the Hollywood films had.
No, I've just had a look at this now, and okay, well, I know that at the time of the say late 50s, this was a lot of money, but when we've looked at films from that were done in Hollywood and LA at the same sort of time, it's like a quarter of the budget. I think it said it had a budget of 92,000 for 117,000, which okay, nowadays is probably what most actors get paid for a day's work. But to sit there and think about the fact that at the time, films that were being put out in Hollywood and LA and America were ones that had £500,000 worth of budget.
And you got to look at the fact, you know, there was no CGI, there was
No.
no special effects as such. It was all practical effects and things drawn, painted on glass and things like that. You know, it was
Yeah.
so it was quite incredible. And it's great to
Was
watch it. I love watching these old films because of the fact that it kind of reminds me just how good filmmaking can be.
it's just like I was sitting there thinking about it. So we've said about how good things are. The prop design for the cocoons, they were, that was for me is like is a mind blowing factor. The fact that that's someone's thought of that, and it's like the writer's thought of it, and then being able to bring that out into the situation, and the whole the way that it was done for them cracking and showing that, I think it was amazingly done.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, it's just I enjoy, as I say, I enjoy watching old films sometimes, and one of the reasons I enjoy it is because it does remind me that the older films can be really good, and that filmmaking, you know, there were people then, to be honest, there were people then who were making better films than some of the films that come out now.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that I as much as it was boring for me, it's not boring, but it was stretched out.
Is a
The
bit
fact that when
slow,
it got,
yeah.
yeah, it got
The
slow,
pacing isn't great.
but that's as I put it down to, that's a typical 50s film at the time. That's how they were made. But I've looked at this and I've actually had more of enjoyment watching this today than honestly than a few films that I've watched out of, just out of my personal. Like on my personal time to sit there and go, do you know what? I want to watch a film. I put this on. I'm halfway through and I'm like, I'm bored out of my skull. And like this one, I sat there and I'm like, yeah, okay, it's stretched out, but I want to see what happens. I want to know what happens.
That's the thing. I think the thing that keep you going is the fact that it's a really well-written story.
Yeah, and as much as I say, it does pay homage to the actors and the actresses that are in it. The writing of it is very well done.
Absolutely. Okay, so there we go. We've got Trojan, which was okay. It wasn't a bad film. It was a pretty good film. Not too overly too sure about it in places, but it was all right. Alienologist, which was possibly the best film I've seen in years. And
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
Quite
I
an
will say I'm gonna have to play that to Amy just to show. It
And
might be my
Quite a
sort
Mess.
of. It's gonna be my
Sorry.
go-to happy film.
And then Quite a Mess too, which is, you know, is it 1957, great 1957 British sci-fi film, really worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Scott, for being part of that and doing that.
Right.
Thank you to everybody and anybody out there listening. Next episode, we're going to try and do a review of a short film that was shown at the Romford Horror Film Festival and an interview with the filmmakers. And we may do a review of one of the longer films that was at the Horror Film Festival, which I think you saw, I'm not sure.
Got one.
I'll have to check that. Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that. Now I've got to look it up. Because it was emailed to me that I had a screener emailed to me for it.
Oh.
Where are we? It, while I'm looking this up, by the way, thank you very much to Richard Roundtree from the Fish Eye Film Festival, who gave me the honour of being on the judging panel for the animated films at the Fish Eye Film Festival 2024. I was very happy to do that, and thank you very much for that.
Yes, nice to see. It's not as weird. Well, I know obviously Dad was one of the trades, but it's the fact that happy to help with things like that. People that want, if they want their films put out, they want them reviewed, they want them spoken about, they want their stuff,
Absolutely.
their opportunities, their things that they're going on. Email us, message us. We'll put it up either on our social medias. We'll talk about it on here. We'll put it up on our Facebook stuff we've got. Let us know, and we're quite happy just to endorse you, if that makes sense. But like, to
Yeah.
sort of, or even just the word of mouth, because all it takes is us to say something, and it 10 other people might hear it and pass it on to someone else.
Yeah, the film that I've been sent the screen for was Slasher House 3.
Oh, yes! Sorry.
So I thought we could sit and properly watch that and review it. And also we will be doing the film As the Sow, So the Piglet, which is the film that was made by our friends from Rilla Thriller.
Oh,
And we hopefully will have an interview with them via Zoom about the film as well. So yeah. And then after that, I've been thinking that the week after that, or the episode after that, we might do something a little different. Thinking that we might do something that's a television thing rather than a film thing.
oh.
Now, there are only 12 episodes of this.
Okay.
Six of them are on YouTube,
Yes.
and six of them are on Channel 4 because they were picked up by Channel 4.
Okay.
All I will say to you is I was introduced to it by your younger brother. He introduced me to this, and I sat and watched the first two episodes of it with my mouth slightly open and a puzzled look on my face, thinking, what the hell am I watching? Okay. But next week, one short film, one feature film, and hopefully an interview. Okay. So until then, I would like to say, Hugel, but I don't know how to pronounce it. So,
Spell it either.
thank you very much, Scott.
That's okay.
Thank you to everybody and anybody out there, anywhere, whether they're listening or not. Although, if they're not listening, how would they know I said that? Maybe they'll pick it up on the ether. Ether they will or they won't. Oh, God. All right. Until next time, we'll say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
The Sci Fodder Film Podcast. We'll be right back.